Get it? Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from planet X, ready to save our planet. Hello, everybody.
What?
We were just hanging out, chanting.
Hey, every guy and girl out there in internet land, welcome to the Octavarius podcast. This is episode 56.
Holy gajibus.
Boy, are we rolling through these. First of all, I want to thank everybody for coming to both our Valentine's Day show and the Keith and Tins album release. It was so cool to be back for Comedy Sports another 2 weeks. And we were just so thrilled to see everybody there. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming out, guys.
Now that that's out of the way, let's start off at the far end of the room and sound off.
Hi, it's Opie.
Oh, hey. It's Cloud.
Hi, didn't see you there. It's B-Wo.
Oh, hey, just me, Chris Bogue.
Huh? Oh, Mark.
Oh, boy, oh, it's Keith.
It's Gustave.
Oh, it's Tins.
It's Lauren.
It's Scott.
Where is that? Oh, hey, podcast. Nick.
I believe that Lauren, since it is actually your birthday today, you have the honor of finding our mailbag, which is lost.
Okay. Where could it be?
It's somewhere over here.
Oh, you didn't prepare this, Lauren.
Jesus.
You have to unscrew it first.
Okay.
Unscrew that mailbag, Lauren.
All right, ready for the mailbag,
unscrew it. The cork will still stay on.
On the mailbag.
Dead air, Lauren. What?
Of the mailbag.
Okay.
Have you done this before?
No.
Quickly pull the tie.
Why did you volunteer?
Into the mic.
She didn't. That's why it's funny.
Do you need me to do this?
Maybe.
Go ahead, Lauren.
No, it's Lauren's responsibility.
Let's waste all the time.
Give me that bottle of mail. All right, now give it to Mark.
Okay, there you go.
Thanks for this bottle of mail, Lauren. As I'm pouring it out, I can see this one is from Mr. Coman Duran Chief.
There it is.
Nice one, dude.
I hate my life.
Mr. Duran Chief writes to us from Washington, D.C.
Oh.
And he said, "Hey, guys, it's President's Day, and there have been so many presidents that have done so many great things. And then some assholes who didn't. But we still like celebrating them because it's such an important part of our country's history. What is up with that?"
That's a good question.
Coman Duran Chief. That's actually, that's a great name.
Coman's a good one.
Coman!
Coman Duran Chief.
I know I've said on previous podcasts I was always a big Clinton fan.
Yeah.
You did say as much.
Yeah, I did two reports on him while I was in school. I just found him fascinating. I thought the way this dude, you know, his story of, you know, having a single mother and a brother that was a little wild, and then, you know, eventually becoming a Rhodes Scholar, meeting Hillary, you know, meeting his idol of John F. Kennedy, and then becoming, you know, one of the youngest governors ever in our nation's history is pretty neat. And then making his way from governor of Arkansas to the president of the United States. And you don't really think of the governor of Arkansas ever getting to become president of the United States.
Doing anything,
well,
really.
Well,
yeah.
Well, but I don't know. It's all, the president is all about, you got to appeal to that, like, folksy down-home mentality. Southern governors and leaders actually tend to do pretty well,
but rarely do you get somebody from Arkansas. You get someone from like Georgia, Tennessee.
He's the voice of the common man.
I feel like Arkansas is a little bit further on the
obscure
the
side.
Yeah.
Have we ever had a Tennessee president?
A Tennessee president?
I mean,
yeah.
If not, it's about time.
Yeah.
Yes, we've had two.
Is it Andrew Jackson?
Andrew Jackson.
And
it was Tennessee.
Cleveland.
Yeah. Is
from Ohio.
Al Gore is also a Tennessee fella.
Well, that's right, it is.
Carthage, Tennessee, Tennessee, which is my hometown.
Oh. Wow.
See, see, we had Al Gore. He technically won the presidency, and he didn't even win the presidency.
Which is
he
pretty was from cool. Tennessee.
Yeah, cool. You got to be a winner of a loser to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But I guess the thing that I really liked about Clinton was just that you always felt like you could sit and hang out with the dude. And of all the presidents, even with, you know, some pretty fat, fantastic ones, and, you know, I was always and fat ones like William Howard Taft.
Oh, Taft, I could talk
he
about
He did that. A lot there of great some interesting things presidents. Other than being fat.
But of all of them, okay, I would most president. Like to hang out with Clinton.
Even so that's more than Obama?
Excellent administrator.
I would definitely like to, you know, when Clinton talks, I feel like he makes big ideas seem manageable and makes it seem like I can handle it too, you know, as an average American. And he makes, you know, things like the economy and our environment and foreign relations just seem okay. Does that mean he's a great president? I really don't know. But for me, Brian, that's the guy that I would want to hang with.
Here's something.
Where are you guys at?
Well, I just want to say one thing about Clinton. Before we move on past him, because we all of us were growing up when Clinton was president. We all lived through 8 years of Clinton presidency when we were rather young. And looking back on it, like right now, like everybody hates on Obama. It's like he's Muslim Hitler. And, you know, I hear, because I'm a big news junkie, I hear a lot of right-wing pundits talking about how they just want Obama to step back and be as sensible as Clinton. And take a page out of Clinton's book. And I'm just, like, if you go back and remember, they fucking hated Clinton. They said that he, like, was responsible for getting someone murdered, and there was the whole blowjob impeachment thing. And, like, it was, like, you forget that they were just, like, know if they were just as cruel to Clinton as they were to Obama, but, like, man, they ripped him apart every day.
And he did some things, that really set us up for some trouble later. But at the time, you know, you can argue, well, you know, he had to do this or he had to do that or that was smart or it wasn't smart. Who knows? But gosh, you know, to see that retrospect that they're putting on it is kind of silly. Because he really had a rough go.
But in retrospect, at the very least, we can all say, love him or hate him, Clinton made blowjobs acceptable.
Clinton,
people just didn't talk about blowjobs. Like, they weren't as common.
That brought blowjobs to the forefront of the world. Clinton made blowjobs a thing. Blowjobs were not nearly the thing they were.
There was that whole argument. Is oral sex sex? And that was the whole crux of his scandal. And that was hotly debated.
There were a lot of girls getting pregnant from it. Like, so many, like, stomach babies were happening. It was nice.
He also made lying under oath pretty cool.
Yeah.
I did that a bunch of times after.
Yeah, I mean, Clinton lying under oath was such a weird thing to see the president of the United States lie under oath. And it was such a weird lie, too. And you know, you see that, and a lot of people say, you know, that we stopped idealizing our presidents after, you know, after Kennedy. I'm sure people idealize here and there.
No one idealizes Reagan anymore.
No.
That is, we are donezo.
Well, you know, everybody gets rose-tinted glasses, you know, as time goes on. But still, while they're in office, though, there's a lot going on, and boy, did he had his share of stuff.
He was like the Cisco of U.S. presidents, where like Cisco made thongs like socially acceptable. Bill Clinton accomplished. He just blazed new trails in the world.
They also made the big thing out of how he said he smoked pot but didn't inhale. He was the first president to admit trying marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
But just doing it,
kinda admit.
Well, yeah. He said that he tried it, but was so inept that he couldn't do it.
I held gas in my mouth, but I just didn't know what to do with it.
Well,
I just forgot how to inhale.
We all have friends that may not be as good at inhaling things as others,
well,
and that's a possibility.
That
I'm sure there are people out there that are not good at smoking marijuana, just like Bill Clinton.
Obama is. He said his exact quote was, "I did inhale." It's not the exact quote. It's pretty much the exact quote. He said, "I did inhale multiple times when I was young."
And that he knew what he was doing when he did it. Yeah,
that was kind of the point.
That was the point.
I would rather have a president who's like upfront and honest about all that, though, rather than someone like trying to hide everything.
But they have been since Clinton. Bush admitted, too, that he did cocaine.
I want one that's like high all the time. Because,
Ron Paul
might not be the best.
Mr. President, please come in here, man.
What's going on?
What's this bill about National Lunch Day?
Man,
hell is that?
Dude, it's
national lunch.
I was thinking about lunch, and then I thought, National Lunch Day. Everyone gets to have lunch.
Do you want
to
watch the Wiggles? It's so crazy.
have you guys ever met a president?
No.
I
don't think so.
I got to see Barack speak at ISU before he was president, and he was running for Illinois Senate. But that was from afar, and I was closer to Michelle when she came, but still, that was about as close as that came. Now, Nick, you ran...
I went to, as I was saying, I went to Grant Park on November.
You went to Grant Park, because we had the party at our place.
That's so cool.
Nick felt so called by this historic event.
He left
that
our awesome election beach party.
You guys
party.
Were in Hawaiian clothes. It's
great. We had an election beach party where we made a giant map of the United States that took up a whole wall of our apartment.
Was I there?
I don't think you were there for that in 08.
It was pre-Octavarius.
Yeah, it was pre-Octavarius. And Tins didn't even live with Mark and I at the time. And Nick was at the party, and Nick felt so called by the historic event that he turned to me and said, "Brian, I've got to go. I've just got to go to Grant Park." And you left.
I did. It was fun. I found out who won the presidency when I exited from State and Lake. And everyone was cheering. I'm like, well, I mean, we all knew.
Did you go by yourself or did you go meet a friend? Did you meet your friend Ted Evans?
No. Not your friend Ted.
I mean, Ted E.
There's a guy who I went to high school with that I ran into. And I actually ran into a bunch of other, actors that I've met in Chicago, acting actors.
I love acting actors. They're
acting
my favorite
actors.
Kind of
actors. Mostly actors that call themselves actors and don't do anything.
Thank you.
Okay, here's one that's that still gets me to this day. My older brother is camera shy, right? He doesn't like taking pictures. He's not a big picture guy. And he went to Augustana, and Barack Obama, Senator Obama, or it might even been when he was campaigning to be a senator, Obama spoke at Augustana, and he went and he saw Obama, and afterwards, all his, his girlfriend and all his best friends were hanging out talking with Barack, and they all got pictures with him afterwards, and they go, "Hey, John, come over here and get a picture with Barack Obama," and my brother goes, "No thanks." So the day after Obama gets elected, all his college friends, his ex-girlfriend, they've all got profile pictures of them with the president, and he passed it up. He passed up getting a picture with the president.
I just had no idea.
Asshole. It was years ago.
How can you pass up? But even knowing, just the possibility, that's a cool thing.
Yeah,
one of my favorite photos of all time, just in photographs, is of a friend of ours, George Zarante, with Rod Blagojevich.
Yeah.
It's just him and Rod Blagojevich at a Cubs game.
On Facebook.
And it's just like, if you have a chance to be with somebody
part of that story is George had no idea who he was. He just
really?
Came up to him and said, "Hi, I'm Rob Blagojevich."
Hey,
and
cool
like,
hair,
"Let's
dude.
Take a picture."
You want to take a picture?
Wow. That is very George of George
That's
to
awesome.
Stumble into history.
Right?
I met him.
All right, well, okay,
George.
So we're getting into corrupt. Who's some of the corrupt presidents? The presidents who were ridden with scandal. Like there's
Wasn't
Nixon.
Warren Harding. Warren G.
Nixon.
Harding was the Teapot Dome guy.
Ulysses S. Grant as well.
It was
the Teapot Dome scandal.
It was something
Grant.
About passing off money
Grant
to military contractors,
president.
I think.
Really?
Yeah. Grant.
Wasn't he like a war hero?
He was.
Grant
war
is not a terrible president.
He was one. He's one of the worst presidents of all time.
What did he do?
Ulysses S. Grant.
He's not
because he was. He didn't know how to. His cabinet was openly corrupt.
That's true.
That he did. They couldn't really handle it. And plus, he was right at Reconstruction. So yeah. They didn't really know how to reconstruct America after the Civil War.
Well, I mean, that's why he ended up enlisting, you know, James West. And his partner.
Jim West, Desperado.
And his partner, Kevin Kline.
That's what he went by.
It was Jim West and Kevin Kline reuniting the United States of America and the Transcontinental Railroad.
If a man constructs a giant metal spider and starts wreaking havoc in the Old West, I don't know how much the president can be held accountable for that, you know?
You can't hold that against Grant.
Ultimately, it's his country, it's his responsibility. Even if he didn't ask for it, that giant mechanical spider is now his problem, and if they don't fix it in a timely and safe manner, it is the president's responsibility to bear.
If I remember my history books, I believe that, I mean, Grant did everything he could to stop the giant spider. I mean, thankfully, his deputies had it covered.
Yeah, he did. He put a really good team on it.
What was the name of the movie?
Ulysses S. Grant
He was also a drunk.
He was drunk. He smoked a lot of cigars. He was behind the
Nixon was a drunk.
The Black Friday Gold Panic of 1869. Okay. Which is what I'm reading now.
All right, we brought up Nixon again, and I think it's funny that Nixon, because everyone knows about Nixon, you know Watergate, you know he was like just a douchebag and he was all grumpy and he had an enemies list. But Nixon actually did a lot of things that today, like he wouldn't even be seen as a Republican today. He created the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah.
He was the first one to do that. And he did other things. Like, there's a lot of old school conservatives who would be incredibly liberal by today's standards because they didn't, like, hate the environment and stuff.
Foreign policy stuff is still a lot of our foreign policy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that was a lot of Kissinger, but.
I think one of the cooler aspects about being president, I mean, they don't always come with positive connotations, but they're some of the only people in the world that can often get words named after them. Like yes. There's Reaganomics, there is Obamacare. Like I can't think of many other professions where you could go into into a job and CJs they call them for a while.
Wasn't the teddy bear named after Theodore Roosevelt?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Totally right.
What a badass teddy president bear. Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
He got the teddy bear. I found out Teddy Roosevelt used to drink a gallon of coffee every day.
I did hear that.
You could be president. Nick.
I could be president.
Nick for president.
That's all it does.
You seriously drink a gallon of coffee every day?
I mean, close. I mean, I drink a lot of coffee.
But a gallon, Nick? A gallon?
Well, I mean, I would say like,
what's your average intake a day?
Hang on.
How many cups a day?
Where are you going?
Well, he's gone now.
He's got his mug.
So that's like 24 ounces.
So it's 2.5 of these.
Everyone listening in, please look.
Look at this, as you can see.
So that's holding up a 24-ounce that's a, mug. I believe that's
it's a
16.
Starbucks.
Look
it's
at
Starbucks
the bottom. Nick, read the bottom.
Yeah, look at the bottom.
It should say. It's probably 16 ounces.
SKU1 made.
Okay, no, not the SKU.
Listen, Mikula, I know you can drink 2.5 travel mugs of coffee, but you are no Theodore Roosevelt, sir.
Take that.
He could drink like 10 of them, dude, and go hunting.
Yeah, but I'm still alive.
How many trusts have you claimed to have busted?
Yeah, you haven't even busted a single trust.
Not to segue, but I'm on usnews.com, and number 7 on the worst presidents of the United States is Ulysses S. Grant.
Okay.
Could you read the 10 worst?
Yeah, just read the 10 worst.
4 was Zachary Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Before that was William Henry Harrison.
Slacker, 30 days, nothing.
After that, I'm sorry, number 8, this was a tie with Richard Nixon and someone. I forget.
Really?
Well, a lot of people are upset about that drug war that Nixon started.
Yeah.
That cost a lot of money and also made for a lot of trouble, and he brought a lot of disgrace to the office with the, with the Watergate stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Herbert Hoover.
Number 6, John Tyler.
Oh, what a skeletal, gross
defender,
man.
Defender of slavery. Oh, who abandoned his party's platform once he became president.
Wow. Oh, man, that's
there's a bunch of presidents right before the Civil War who are like, I don't really want to deal with this.
John Tyler's nickname was The Accidency. Or his accidency.
Number five is President Millard Fillmore.
I love his name.
He backed the compromise of 1850 that delayed the Southern secession by allowing slavery to spread.
Yeah.
Wow. Millard
Fillmore made some difficult
decisions. Fuck that guy, man.
Okay, then
And then we go to number four. Franklin Pierce. I actually know a little bit about Franklin Pierce.
That was, man, what a rough go of that country, because it was like,
Zachary Taylor, Millard Fillmore.
And it was like those three in a row.
Right up to the Civil War.
We're like, can you imagine having three different shitty presidents in a row?
I don't think it's fair to say that they, like, doing this top 10, like, worst presidents is only in compared to what we think is good now.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
They
well,
might have
2020.
Been, and but also like people at the time, that's what they thought, and in a democratic society, that's what they wanted.
That's true.
So yeah, that's no, not a bad president for them. That, that's appropriate for them, and it's bad in comparison.
Well, also,
but that's why the list is for all time.
But you still know the difference between right and wrong.
But all time is still. Yeah. But like that's not. We don't think the way they thought back then. That's not fair to say.
Well, there's so much different.
Even of all time, that's saying that even now we're right, because we're going to change our mind in 100 years on a lot of things.
But I think it's measurable by, like, you look at what legislation they did that actually ushered in progress in the society, like, that brought us great, you know, you can say, oh, here the country saw a lot of prosperity, jobs grew, they did this. Like, the country moved forward as a player in the world because of their policies.
It moved forward in a direction, but what if by random weird consequences, like if these people had been
if they weren't elected, well, it became disastrous,
Or other things, or what if, like, I'm in no way right now saying that slavery is good, but what if what if slavery had expanded?
It helped
longer?
The economy. It helped, like, honestly, cheap labor, like dirt cheap labor, helped us grow fast and not pay a lot for it. Like, it was horrible and wrong, and like now in the year 2011 you can look at it and say, my God, of course that's so obviously wrong, but like that's kind of what progress is about. You kind of move forward and then you realize the fucked up things you do and you stop doing them.
We might be really behind now if it weren't for those terrible presidents. Like,
we're gonna think we're monsters
but
a
I
thousand
also,
years
but
from
I
now.
Also think at the same time, if by that logic, like, I don't think there's ever been a president who intentionally hurt America. Like,
no, I don't
like
know.
An evil president.
So, like, by that logic, they're all the best president, because they're all doing what they thought was the best thing to do.
Yeah, but that's they're only you can only say they're all the best president.
Wasn't there a
president
with Harrison Ford in that one movie?
James Marshall. Air Force One?
Air Force
no,
One?
No, not Air Force
oh,
One.
That's
get off my
Harrison
plane.
Ford goes across
the country. Oh, Great Present Danger.
Yeah.
It's like, don't you dare pocket me. You're in the White House.
Well, excuse me, sir.
I walked there. You excuse me, sir.
No, we haven't had, like...
a bad president.
That was an evil guy.
Okay, have we had, like, a real ass-kicking president since Jackson?
Since Jackson?
Jackson
James
was,
Marshall.
Teddy Roosevelt was an ass-kicker.
Yeah,
Jackson was a horrible man by our standards now.
But he was an ass... He beat people's asses. He literally kicked people's asses.
You know, Lyndon Johnson...
Like the Indians down the Trail
Lyndon
of
Johnson
Tears.
Slapped an 8-year-old.
Well,
they didn't call it the Trail of Tears before that, all right?
Lyndon
they were
Johnson,
planning it, they didn't mean for it to sound so
sad. If you're talking
sad.
About a tough talking president, the closest thing...
Trail of Triumph.
The closest thing we had in our modern era to a tough talking president or a tough president was Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Baines Johnson, tall fella, would use his height a lot.
Tall of a guy.
Well, he would use his height, and he would tower over people and kind of get in their face. And he was known for being a close talker, so he'd get in close on you and tell you shit. You know what's what on Vietnam.
He was not a good looking man.
No, not well. You know,
he slept with more women than Kennedy.
He did. Wow. He did. He fucked a lot of chicks. He was
good
for
him.
He's a pretty intense dude. Ew.
Well, tall guys get laid all the time.
Well, Lauren,
that's not true.
The odd thing about all these guys, you know, even though they're, you know, some of them are, you know, not the best lookers. You can't argue that a lot of them have, you know, quite a bit of charisma. They're the president.
It
takes a lot
and
to become president of the United States.
Lauren made a point that was really good a minute ago Lauren said that, you know, now it means a lot more. You have to be good looking. And that's
TV.
The TV and the internet. Like, that's you can't look like shit.
That's why Nixon lost initially, because he looked like shit. He was sick, and he looks like Nixon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're already talking about right now, like, people were making fun of, like, Mike Huckabee. He was like, he lost a lot of weight. He's a big dude, and he lost a lot of weight. I saw him going on talk shows, and everyone's like, "Oh, you're slimming down. You're going to be president. You can't have a fat president. So glad you're not a fatty anymore." And Huckabee's totally put on all the weight again since then. So like, it's like, he's probably not running for president. You can't be like,
can't be a fat president.
Yeah, you got to be fit. Although they made fun of Clinton's weight. They, like, on SNL and
stuff. That was the thing about Clinton's weight early. Early, he was a little bit pudgy, supposedly, for a president. I didn't think he was a fat guy, but
I never thought of him as such.
I mean, he wasn't like, you know, triangular.
He wasn't Gerald Ford.
No, he wasn't Gerald. Gerald Ford was a former college football player. Gerald Ford, you know.
But your slight, barely flaws are just amplified. Like, the slightest thing's wrong about you, you will be hounded for 24 hours a day when you're the president.
What I love about any president effing up is SNL or, like, the shows that really just, like...
Who's that president in the 70s? Like, he tripped one time.
Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford.
Chevy Chase just... did it in every single state.
And Gerald Ford is probably the most athletic president we've ever had, but he's also, because of Chevy Chase, he's known as the most bumbling.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a bumbler. That wasn't the thing with Ford. But, and also SNL, I feel SNL influences our view of presidents.
Oh, yeah, he's so powerful. Sure.
Like, I mean, everybody enjoyed Daryl Hammond's, you know, tricky Bill Clinton, you know.
Will Ferrell is Bush.
How sly he is. And Will Ferrell is Bush.
Will Ferrell
makes George W. Bush likable. He makes you just want to be George Bush's buddy.
He's just a silly jackass.
A sweet fool.
Just like a child sitting in an adult chair.
Put on your president pants, Georgie.
And he just does so many silly
things. He's choking on a pretzel.
He's choking.
It was comedy. Like, you look back at it and like, yeah, man. Actually, I think people would be a lot more pissed off at all the shit George W. Bush fucked up if he wasn't so funny and, like, almost comically, almost adorably stupid.
You know, during his presidency, what we needed most was laughter. That
was the birth of Southern humor. We got so much laughs laughing at what was actually happening and representing our country.
Wait, you don't think there was Southern humor before George Bush?
I would argue
the blue-collar comedy guys turned into a force during Bush's presidency.
Really? True. So, like really huge mainstream Southern humor.
Big marketing campaigns. That was the first time you ever saw heavily marketed in mainstream America.
Well, redneck, like Jeff Foxworthy had been around since the 90s before, whatever. But yeah, you're right. It wasn't until
that was like Jeff
until
Foxworthy
Bush that
and
Jeff
Friends.
Foxworthy, like, really, like, he everyone fucking knew Jeff Foxworthy.
But that's like the hard part about judging presidents is you look back on history, and based on what the president was doing is how you judge the entire country, pretty much. And you don't realize, like, when you go to another country or when, like, sometimes half the people in the country don't even agree with the president, really.
Yeah.
Or, like, any time you hear about a country's policies, there's always the people who like that and the people who want to change that. Like, there's always two sides. And, you know, you look at Lincoln and, I mean, you feel the president has a pretty good feel for what the public sentiment is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. Half the times, people think the president's fucking wrong.
Okay, I don't want to stop right now, but I'm reading on Franklin Pierce, who is on the number four worst president. Not only was he also fucked a lot of people.
Yeah?
He was a good-looking guy, apparently.
You know who's a Pierce, actually? Barbara Bush.
Oh, yeah?
Barbara Bush. Barbara Bush is a
descendant of Pierce.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, weird.
Yeah, and I forget who the Bushes are descendants of, but that line, like, to George W. Bush is two presidents. It's a two-president line.
Wow.
It's pretty wild.
The absence of a kingdom.
Dude, it's crazy. Well, look at it this way. When have we ever had a president since our founding fathers that has not gone to an Ivy League school.
Wasn't Nixon that
wasn't that part of... So I remember watching Frost Nixon, and one of the biggest parts of Nixon's character...
That he didn't go to Ivy League.
...was that he was, like... He always felt like everyone was looking down on him.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, this scrappy blue-collar-raised guy, and everyone else were, like, Ivy League people talking to
the
blue-collar people.
Say what you want about Obama, but, and, you know, yeah, it's great that he's black, but he's totally... He went to Harvard. So, like, and the thing is, like, do you really want somebody that's not Ivy League?
Where'd JFK go to school?
I feel Harvard.
JFK is Harvard.
Yeah. Okay.
But like, yeah, he's a Boston dude.
But I kind of feel like that's a, you know, and, like, especially, like, lately, like, Ivy League has been, like, derided as some sort of flaw. But, like, I mean, it's...
Yeah, the question is, do you not want an elite? Don't you want someone that's awesome?
If you want the American...
Or are they awesome?
Shouldn't you have from the most competitive... Most elite American school? Like, doesn't that just kind of make
but,
sense?
But, like, is that really how they're... You know, like, George Bush went to Yale, but...
It's connections.
Yale,
it's the
Yale Harvard, like,
to.
Those are all, that's all legacy. A lot of that is legacy stuff.
A lot of it is.
So, like, is that what we want to be one of our prime determinants of our president? Like,
you can't help people.
It's not what we want, but that's, we can't do anything about it.
People's connections always influence their success.
But, Mark, when you look at Barack, ended up becoming the editor of the Harvard Law Review.
Yeah.
He wasn't a descendant of anybody that was in Harvard before. And you look at Clinton. Clinton, nobody in Clinton's fucking family was a Rhodes Scholar. That was all Clinton. But he got there, and then when you get there, you get
doors
to be president.
Up for
you. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah.
How does one become a Rhodes Scholar? What do you have to do? Is there a test?
A lot.
I think you have to, and you have to write a really long.
Don't you have to, like, to walk 8 miles or something like that?
There are so many things to become a Rhodes Scholar. It's
dude,
a pretty
walk
amazing
8 miles.
Honor.
That's good.
Let's
do that.
8
miles,
that, you know,
and I would walk.
And so the thing is you know, is it an elitist society that determines who are going to be the candidates to be president? Or is it really, you know, this random popularity like someone like Sarah Palin? Because Sarah Palin totally is not
Ivy League. Yeah,
she's not Ivy League. She's nothing. She is a phenomenon.
She's nothing.
Well, she's a phenomenon.
Sarah Palin.
She's a phenomenon all on her own. She's her own machine.
But
she's drummed up.
She didn't make. She gets picked for, you know, like, she didn't have to, like, you know. Everyone compares the two because they had, you know, little experience in the presidency. But, like, you know, he had to run. He had to win all those elections. He had to campaign around the entire state. It was just from a very low populated state. And then she was just picked to be the vice president.
Yep, yep.
And then, like, Fox News picked her out and just kind of made her into... They gave her a reality show. And, it, like, she doesn't talk
to anybody. Well, no, her reality show is on TLC. That's not Fox.
No, but, like, after that, like,
they gave her the popularity to
she's
eventually...
She's a media creation.
Well, she also did that a little bit herself.
She worked really
you know,
hard.
Let's not forget. She, I mean, granted, you know, I think she's not that smart. But,
no,
you know, you gotta know some shit to do some of those.
No, here's why I disagree with that, Brian. Because she won't even speak to people to let them find out. She only talks through her Twitter or her Facebook, which other people could help her write, or she talks to Fox or news that's friendly.
Yeah, dude, that's
like,
part of what makes her smart.
No, but like,
I think she knows the basics.
But you can have a PR person instruct you to do that. You don't have to be a leader or an intelligent person to do that. You just do what you're told. So
she has like a collection of people below her, each with a specialized
job. She never
has
to fend for herself.
She
I
might
never get
just
to see.
Be
but
a
is,
sexy
but
bag
isn't
of muscles.
Isn't that smart to surround yourself with those people that make you look good? Then
that's
I think there, there's something to it.
Could that also be though a product of a smarter puppeteer?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's
the
just
there
as
an
likely,
behind
dude.
Darth Vader?
We just gotta be okay with the fact it's just as likely.
I got. I have update on
Shadow
on our Facebook. I wrote. I asked who your favorite president was. Jenna G wrote Teddy Roosevelt, hands down, socially progressive, fought for universal health care, unions, and cleaned up New York City. Economically conservative and a military master. Bull Moose.
Okay.
Yeah. The Bull Moose
party. He was the most successful third party candidate.
Yeah.
Yeah. But FDR, New Deal guys.
Yeah, polio.
Polio.
Well, you
polio.
Also mentioned earlier, Lisa also mentioned earlier Herbert Hoover. A lot of people mm-hmm. used to blame a lot on Hoover.
Hoovervilles.
Like this, yeah, and Hoovervilles. But now it seems like as time has gone on, people are less mad at Hoover.
Yes, he still crowned another shitty word based on a president.
That's true. That's crowned a shitty word.
Talk about Hoovervilles.
He also refused to do anything. I mean, as Keith was saying, he made what he felt was the best choice at the time. But he refused to do anything to stop the... He was very laissez-faire.
But yeah, it was very, the rich got super fucking rich, and the poor people had nothing, and then it was just absolute chaos.
I feel like a lot of that is what has gotten us to where we're at right now, is we got another laissez-faire government with the end of Clinton through Bush, and it was very laissez-faire on business restrictions.
Yeah.
And predatory lending. And
how much do you guys think that,
I think we got lazy.
How much do you think our votes really matter?
As individuals?
Not necessarily as individuals, but how much do you think is public interest in what people actually want? And how much do you think is special interest or corporation heavily
influenced?
Here's actually
a fun fact I found out is that even though the people in the offices change, they say a reason why things always stay the same is because the staffers in Washington usually remain the same. There's a lot of just staffers who go through the daily operations and, you know, who help prepare. And, they're the people around you who prepare. But those people don't change. You don't elect those people out. So it's very hard to change the culture.
Well, a little bit. But also, our government is set up to not change that
much.
Yeah,
it's set up to be inefficient.
It's set up to, inefficient, I don't know, but... Well,
it checks itself a lot before it does something big.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Checks and balances.
Yeah, and that's kind of a good thing too, but it's also frustrating.
Are you guys opposed to the Electoral College, or do you think it works fine?
You know, I used to be really against it.
Me too.
And then I realized that, it is a little bit unfair to have urban areas' interests constantly be higher than that of rural areas.
But it also kind of makes sense.
Yeah, because, well, more that's popular. The thing is, if it was fully democratic, if all of us folks in urban areas, like we live in the city of Chicago, it would be very easy for me to forget about the needs of a farmer.
Like, think of it this way. The city of Chicago has 10 times the population of South Dakota. No one would ever campaign for anything South Dakota wanted.
And I feel like the Electoral College makes people care about places like South Dakota, mm-hmm. like Mark is saying.
Dude, whatever. South Dakota's lousy.
I know it is. I know it's totally lousy, but they're totally a part of the country, and they need to be represented
South
too.
Dakota,
I want South Dakota to have a voice, and so giving them... two full electoral college votes, one for each of their senators,
and then
their congress people is a really good thing, and I want South Dakota to matter because I realize that sometimes there are rural areas and we need to take care of our farmers,
I think part of
I don't know enough about farming to tell them what to do.
Dude, farmers don't make any money anyway.
That too.
It's all government subsidies and because it's just you can't make the money out of it.
But anymore. But who's to know how those subsidies are supposed to be run? That's why I need South Dakota to tell me what to do because I don't know fuck about that.
Maybe they're cheating us out of so much money.
They might be, but whatever. In the grand scheme of things, they can have their
getting subsidies
for themselves. It's okay.
So
we all get our slice of
the pie. But I also think part of a democracy is protecting a minority voice because it's really easy to just outvote them all the time.
Yeah.
But you know, there's no. But well, the question is what are you talking about minorities in? Because minority population wise, you can control, but you can't be like, here is the representative of gay. And gay votes
It's interesting when you have, look at Lincoln.
They're not going to sound like that.
Well, that's the announcer who... Here is the representative of North Suburban Chicago white people.
You know,
standing at 6'6", 198 pounds.
The thing about, Lincoln, Lincoln had to... Because at a time when Lincoln freed the slaves, a lot of people say that, he wanted to send black people you want to send black people back to Africa, you know? And, like, mm-hmm. you know, at the like, it seems like a really, you know, racist thing, but apparently his view is he thought, like, he never thought white people would be able to, like, he felt the South was so racist at the time, and it was so divided that they would never be able to get over it.
They owned humans that looked away.
Yeah, but it's just so interesting to think of a man, you know, who has to sit there and he has to try to imagine what these people are going through at a time when they had no reputation, trying to consider their needs and consider, like, it's way harder when you don't have any actual people governing who've been through this, you know?
And he, I mean, and 100 years later, we had to pass laws to legislate equality.
Yeah.
And they're still not really solved entirely.
Oh, yeah. I saw that there's a Morgan Freeman documentary about how, like, this is prom in Mississippi. It's still segregated.
Dude, I haven't seen a Morgan Freeman documentary about William Howard Taft.
What?
The fattest president. The fattest president. I know we talked about how important it is for the president to look good, but I just want to talk about the guy that invented the seventh inning stretch for a moment.
That's right.
Yeah, he did.
Taft. Really? William Howard Taft invented the seventh inning stretch.
Did he throw out the first baseball ever?
And his back.
Yes.
He threw out the first baseball.
Well, I mean, like, he started the trend.
Fattest president ever.
Who's the president that got, like, stuck in a bathtub?
That was Taft.
Yes.
They had to build a bigger tub.
I remember that from, like, third grade.
We're
going to
need a bigger tub.
He was
That's a real thing.
You want to bang this president, Jesus.
How do they get him out?
Why does it matter that our president is fat?
Some grease and a lot of
an example.
But if he's, like, super smart and making awesome decisions.
If he was super smart, he'd take care of himself.
Lauren, you just said looks matter.
I know.
Here's my question, Lauren.
Lauren, the president of the United States is a representative of the United States of America.
It's like someone that everyone looks at and goes, yeah, that stranger, he's going to tell me what to do from now on forever.
It's a combination of, like, a Democratic elected leader and the Queen. You know, like,
the figurehead and the statesman.
Yeah. Lauren, would you, if
they
had
the president has to be both. So we do need someone that looks good. That's important.
I
mean,
but, like, Lauren, I would only, I would pick Edward.
No
Cullen
fuglies
over,
apply,
you know,
please.
Or Robert Pattinson or whatever. God. I'm just saying.
No, but, like,
but I just am wondering why it does matter. So
everyone
much.
At home for the sake, I think, for the Robert Pattinson on their bingo cards.
I think probably for all the same reasons.
Still not mentioned yet.
All the same reasons it matters in the rest of your life. Like, if
I
you
know,
would you would you have you ever gone out with, like, a 350-pound guy?
No. Did you know that
why
women
not?
Who
What's
get
up?
Promoted?
Whoa, man!
Hey, I have
There's What's lots of talking.
I had a true statistic here. Okay. My statistic was that women who get promoted in the workplace. It's like 60% more likely to get promoted if you're taller and skinnier, or if you're tall and skinny versus, like, short.
I'm sure it works that way for the fellas too.
It certainly good looking does. People do better.
Yeah.
Good so looking.
It's higher.
Good looking, rich, and Ivy League definitely get you ahead of a lot of other people.
Speaking
like I was saying earlier with those presidents
of looks, if you had to choose between these three people I'm about to list to be the president of the United States in terms of the American, like, identity kind of person.
Okay. Yeah.
Your choice.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Okay, we'll
go. I'm sorry, go on.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Really?
Clint Eastwood. Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
Wait, these are people who we'd like to...
Just the, like,
God damn it, can you just let Mikula talk? He didn't talk that much.
Yeah.
Going to get 7 words just like he always does.
Let go!
He's going to squander them like he always does.
No.
No choice.
No, yeah, going off the American looks, it was John Wayne, Tommy Lee Jones, Clint Eastwood, Harrison Ford, and...
All in their prime, I guess?
Sure, in their prime.
Yeah.
Their most presidential...
Like age 35, probably.
Who's the other choice? It's a
four. Karen Allen. We'll throw Karen Allen in there.
Okay.
As well.
Okay. Here is the thing. Now, God, all these people scowl a lot.
Yeah.
Do you always think the president must scowl? Like, what's wrong with
looks,
all the
right?
scowl? I guess.
Like, I probably would have felt better if George W. Bush had a great scowl after 9/11. But he didn't.
He didn't just have a good scowl. He wasn't strong enough.
Like if Harrison Ford, like you know, went on public television and was like, "My fellow Americans," and they just scowled.
Like, dude, oh, Brock's, I would have been like Brock's got a good scowl.
Yeah, Brock can scowl.
Oh, he's just got a good
Reagan could scowl. George Bush Sr. could scowl.
Harrison Ford.
W's scowl was shitty.
We got a Twitter thing. Just someone shout out. They always had a thing for Lincoln Washington. Together, they were the two presidents on the calendar that showed my birthday 4 days.
Boom! I got a George Washington.
I bet he had a good scowl too. Like you,
well, the thing that's it's very
he had a good scowl because his jaw hurt constantly.
Yeah, he also had nice thighs. What? Wait, I want to hear this. No, in AP US, my teacher would always talk about like how much of hotties these early presidents were, and she'd be like, "Yeah." George Washington was a stud muffin, and she'd be like, there's a bunch of early presidents that had, like, she would literally say, she's like, you can put in your notes, they had these, like, just massive, awesome thighs.
Because they were walking everywhere.
No,
I don't
wait
know.
Wait a minute. Where is this information coming from your teacher? She just have a fucking
picture?
Boner?
She just
don't forget. Probably, like, primary sources and stuff, like descriptions of them. Keep in mind, you were from a time where you had to be able to fight.
I'm going
to
fucking look it up right now.
If you want to advance in the world,
I'm
going to
look it up right now. George Washington and thighs.
Yeah, look, George Washington ripped thighs. Ripped, broken thighs.
I'm not going to write ripped because it's not going to put ripped thighs. If it's a legitimate publication, you better not say ripped thighs.
It could be close to the bar. Assassin
George Washington and thighs. Who thinks it's bullshit? I, for one, think it's bullshit. I think it's just their teacher trying to make you learn about presidents or some shit.
Well, I'll make those kids their own way.
Yes,
bud?
Lauren.
Well, sorry, Lauren.
I was going to say that I think either those list of people, I would say either John Wayne or Harrison Ford because...
Now, who would do better in a debate?
In a debate? Harrison Tommy Ford, Lee unless Harrison John Wayne Ford just shoots you.
Harrison Ford has a sense of humor.
It's not
about
a debate.
Him.
It's a duel.
Harrison Ford, you can tell his sense of humor in the Indiana Jones character and
Han Solo,
and even Han Solo.
What Lies Beneath?
Yeah, he could be
And then also even showed his lighter side in Sabrina.
And he's tough, man.
6 days, 7 nights.
Makula, why don't I expand your question slightly and open this up? Who was everybody's like favorite or like coolest movie president? Like, period.
Yeah.
Dude,
there hasn't been a lot.
Fucking easy for me is the American president. It's an Aaron Sorkin president. Because if you're talking movie presidents, anything written by Aaron Sorkin is pretty badass for fictional presidents.
Yeah.
West Wing was pretty sweet.
Martin Sheen, right?
Yeah, Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen
was the chief of staff.
Oh, okay.
In American president.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Michael Douglas was the American president.
What about Morgan Freeman?
Morgan Freeman's
a really
good president. You also have like Kevin Kline and Dave.
That's right.
Dave's great movie.
Bill Pullman.
Yes. Oh my God!
Bill Independence Pullman. Day.
That's awesome.
He's a great president.
We will not vanish into the night. We will not vanish without a fight.
We're going to Lamont.
We're going to survive.
Today we celebrate our Independence Day.
Everybody hugs each other.
No, could you imagine how shitty that would be if we were attacked by aliens and the whole world's freaking out and Obama's like, guys, I'm going to get in a fighter jet and I'm going to go fight the aliens.
Mr. President, no.
Hang on a second.
Please, Mr.
No.
President, no.
Hang on. In Independence Day, Bill Pullman's character was a former Desert Storm fighter pilot.
Okay. Right.
So he had experience. It's not like Obama just. It's not like the president just got into a plane and was like, all right, let's go.
No one's saying whether he's qualified to do it, whether he should do it.
There's a long line of humans that should go up into the air before the president of the United States.
We got no one and the president's there.
Well, that's what it was. That's the situation.
They had a whole bunch of people.
They had a lot of people, but they didn't have any pilot experience.
Remember, one of them was drunk.
So it'd yeah, be like
they got every available pilot.
Would it be like if Barack Obama was like, I have to head their law review.
Yeah, or something.
You have to let me go.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm taking the aliens to court.
Barack Obama would become the prosecutor. Someone else run this country. Question to pose. Do you think that next it would either be a woman president or a Jewish president?
It's going to be Barack. I'm calling it. It's going to be Barack.
Or just another Christian white guy. We love those presidents, don't we, everybody?
But I mean, which do you think would be first?
What's wrong with having a Jew president?
People well, you know, it, you know, Rahm Emanuel is running for mayor here in Chicago.
Most Americans are pretty cool with him at this point.
Yeah, Lieberman was on the ticket. He was one with Gore.
But we still never had a Jew president, and Rahm Emanuel is running here in Chicago for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
He could be the first Jew mayor Chicago ever had. We've never had a Jewish
Jew mayor, by the way, is a technical term.
We've never had a Jewish
mayor. And he's already getting Jew comments. Or like
That hasn't been made much of an issue in the campaign.
I just feel like we're making light of the adjective Jew.
There are Jews in
he's
the room
with us. He's
got
those Jew writers and Jew...
I mean, it's
coming from the Jews in the room. Honestly,
he is a Jew president.
They
can
joke. They can make
one
of those.
It's a thing. A big surprise.
I was just talking to our friend Robert, Southerner of the Week, Robert Hughes, about sentiment towards Jews. He said where he's from. He said his family all the time growing up would be like, "What are you, a Jew?"
Wow.
And you know, they didn't mean it. Like, I mean. Obviously, it's not.
I mean, they just never
polite.
Seen them before.
Yeah, like
yeah, I've seen
they wanted
on the
to know if they
before.
Were a Jew.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't meet a Jewish person until I moved to Illinois. I just fact of the matter is, middle of nowhere Tennessee, in a population of 2,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Ain't no Jews. And if you, the people who live there have always lived there. Their whole families have always lived there. Ain't never been no Jews. What is Jews?
You can probably go, and it won't be a big deal.
But that's what like. Why? I just think it'd be really interesting because I think I would like to agree with everyone that there's like no, you know, if a Jewish person were to run that it, you know, people wouldn't bring that up. Like, are you sure he's qualified?
I think it would totally
he's
be a thing.
Jew.
It would be a thing.
But I wonder, like, how much
be elected before a Jew would. Be
I don't. Elected. I don't. Yeah. I think it would be so hard with everything that's going on in the Middle East for a Jewish person to ever be elected.
Not
president.
To mention
that's
the
true.
Christian right.
I think it would be so hard
the Christian...
for a Jewish person to ever become president, despite their qualifications.
Yeah.
And I feel like. You know, it's a great achievement an African American to become president. I highly doubt we'll see a Jewish president. In our
I'm just Brian. If I can be honest, I'm just still pissed that they killed our Lord.
That's when they went there. They went there.
There's a,
we were going there.
It was
like,
going
you know
okay
what?
Then. It
I don't got time to get there. There are jokes right here. Let's just do it.
But I mean, are you gonna put that in your anti-Jew president candidate campaign ad.
I'm gonna.
He wants to raise taxes, and let's not forget he
but
killed our Lord.
He's Jewish.
Mark,
you remember when
Mark,
he killed your Lord?
Mark, they won't say
don't
that out loud.
But what's
they'll
your stance
imply.
On Disney, Mark?
Don't accept his apology for Lord killing.
Sure, he does a lot of great stuff, and he's really qualified.
He said, oops.
What?
Oh my god.
At this time, I would like to remind our listeners that Octavarius is quite active on Twitter these days.
Uh-huh.
If you're not following us on Twitter, make sure you go ahead and do that. We have a lot of fun with our Twitter followers.
Yes,
and today, we have actually been tweeting about the presidents all day. And I mentioned to Barack Obama, who has
what,
to...
What'd you say,
he reads
Chris
all
Bowen.
Of our tweets.
What did you say to him?
Barack Obama, fan of the show.
I hope he has it. I hope he spent his President's Day... He says he quit smoking, but I say, I hope you got to smoke cigarettes and drink classy beer with Biden for President's Day. And then one of our followers added and run around their underpants, which I think is less likely. But also, you know, good idea.
But adorable.
Well,
oh,
yeah,
fun.
What does the President do on President's Day?
I mean, like... like he gets shit from everyone. He's like, always.
He bees a president.
CJ's.
Like that's
true. Call back Scotty D. Takes the podcast.
Off, Lauren.
I wish I could agree with you, but you said it.
And my joke is kind of falling flat.
I think the best thing is I don't think half of us even heard it. I surely didn't.
Yeah, what did I say? I missed
put
it.
Put that flag in.
He just said,
yes, Scotty D. Please explain the joke to us.
Okay, well, about 25 minutes ago, we were talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, one thing they do say, though, is when you're president, every president leaves with their hair grayer. It really ages you terribly. Like, it's so much stress.
It's a little stressful.
So much pressure. Everyone comes out grayer because it just.
Yeah,
you
look at before and after pictures, and they could be pretty startling.
Well, you do enough working and living.
Also in
and
their
thinking,
30s.
And they're aging 8 years.
And they're aging 8 years.
Yeah, when was the last president in their 30s?
Yeah,
most people are in their 40s or 50s, at least.
At the minimum
at least.
In their 30s.
Minimum 35.
But when was the last president in their 30s? People talk about how young, like, JFK and Barack were. They were in their 40s.
Yeah. So we haven't had a 30s president.
But you can compare a photo of Barack Obama in 2008 with a photo, like, of now, and, like, it's significantly grayer. Like, you know, it's quick, and it was last year.
Dude, I would age significantly as president of the United States.
Except Joe Biden.
I would have the worries of the world on my shoulders.
That's a good point, Castelli. You have to know all the secrets that the president
has. Just watching
I would wake up thinking about everybody every second of the day.
Secret book or some shit.
You shouldn't be trying to sleep all day, B-Will. You're the president.
when I would wake up, it would just be like, oh my god, I would think about people in Montana. And I never think about people in Montana.
All over the world.
There's barely any people in Montana.
But there are some.
It's so, like.
And they have electoral college votes.
But that's the thing. It isn't when you're the president. You're technically. I guess this is pretty, like, ethnocentric to say, but you're pretty much the leader of the world. You're the leader of the free world, as they say. You are the head of the superpower, and when shit's going wrong somewhere, everyone's looking at you saying, why aren't you doing something about this? You're the ones who can. So when you become president, you have to take leadership over the entire world. Like, if the aliens did come down, it'd be like, all right, sup, Brock, what are we doing now?
Yep.
Your move, you got the military.
Brock will know what to do.
He'll have to.
He'd figure
it out.
They
have a law review.
I was watching it. I was reading that they literally do have a contingency plan for if the aliens were to come.
I'm sure.
Are you kidding me?
I would be pissed if they did.
For if aliens take over.
I'm sure it wasn't the first.
Dude, if we do not have a contingency plan, I would be very upset. We've got to have a contingency plan. I would have a plan for fucking everything if I was president.
Asteroids? I think Armageddon taught us we should plan.
I think that would be my favorite day as president. Like, you know, you've probably been there a while because it's not the first order of business. But, like, your chief of staff walks in and he's like, hey, so from 9 to 11 we had that undescribed briefing. It's alien takeover day.
Everyone get your t-shirts.
We're going to watch a bunch of movies. We're going to figure out which plan works best for us, and we're going to execute.
See, I think Brock would have a hard time with an alien takeover.
I think we all would.
I think one of Brock's greatest strengths, I think he learned early on in his presidency, whenever bad shit goes down, he lets everyone... He lets all the pundits, he lets all the politicians, he lets everyone, like, scream about it, and then he steps back, and then he speaks. He waits before he makes a statement. He really takes his time to, like, look at the big picture. It's like, you don't got time for that shit when aliens come
down.
You gotta get on TV.
Sign out. You know who was a prime president? Jack Nicholson in Mars Attacks.
Yeah,
great president. Forgotten president.
Yeah.
What are the top three on the worst presidents?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Mark. I already looked ahead because I was tired of waiting. But number three is Andrew Johnson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was impeached.
Wasn't he also from Tennessee?
I don't know that.
Oh, I believe so. Yes.
Number two is Warren G. Harding.
He was an
ineffectual and indecisive leader who played poker while his friends were friends plundered the U.S. Treasury. That's a pretty bad president.
Yikes.
Wow.
They were robbing America while he was playing poker.
A teapot and a donut.
And then the number one worst president is James Buchanan. He refused to challenge either the spread of slavery or the growing block of states that that became the Confederacy. Mm. So he pretty well, he didn't stop the Civil War.
Who was the president right before Lincoln?
Bush.
Bush.
No, really.
George W. Bush. I don't fucking know. Probably Buchanan.
Chester A. Arthur.
Buchanan. Yeah. No.
It went.
Chester Arthur Middle School.
There was Polk, Taylor, and
Jacob
Buchanan.
15.
Jacob 15.
15th president.
It could have been Jacob 15. Who knows?
Probably the Biebs.
It could have been anyone.
Dude. Don't make fun of Bieber.
I'm not making fun of him. I like Bieber now because I saw the Glee.
I believe you. You
side note, Lincoln. Never say never, guys.
You like Justin Bieber,
dude? I don't hate him. I totally respect what he does. He's a kid. He's a kid who became famous in a year, and he went from like playing water parks to Madison Square Garden. What have you done?
Three D movies.
He's also pro life.
Yeah, in the Rolling Stone interview.
He's a kid.
I think it's really unfair to evaluate his views at this point
like his
in parent, his life.
Yeah, it's based on his parents.
I think he's one of those Hollywood liberal elites, you know?
I think he
Usher
really,
likes him.
Oh yeah, I'm
I
sure
like
he's
who
a
Usher
sweet
likes.
Kid. I think we'll be able to judge his views after he's at least of voting age. And we'll see where that goes from there.
I mean, he's not trying to be a teen heartthrob anymore. Trying to get to be socially acceptable for people's parents to let their kids listen to.
Whatever.
Yeah. He also, like, they asked him about sex before marriage. And he's like, I think you should do it if you're in love with someone. So, I don't think he's like...
Yeah, because he's got, like, a swarm of women.
Yeah, right?
And then, like, they asked him again, and he just repeated that. So, like, I don't think he's trying to hold up this image of, like, I have to please all the moms and everything.
All right, I've done all the research I need. Number one, George Washington dies. I got nothing for you.
I was doing a parallel search with you.
Nothing.
I found nothing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you look up into anything about, like, his physical shape? Did you type
Yes, they're long. They're both long. He was a tall guy, or they were just lanky.
He wasn't built like a rhinoceros.
No.
That was also around that time period. You wore clothing that accentuated your thighs. That's how you presented yourself when you were dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You showed one thigh basically to your dance partner, and that was sexy as fuck.
Number two. A Rhodes Scholarship is an international postgraduate award for study at the University of Oxford in England.
Yes.
And it takes about 2 years, and I guess you get a bunch of shit when you
get it. There's some pretty...
You get like a gift bag?
You get to like crash there anytime you want. And you, like, you get money, and you get all this, they give
big
you all
deal.
This shit.
Big deal.
Prizes.
It takes about two years. Yeah.
I think I might have skimmed it. And then finally on Twitter update, Chrissy 0216 says, guys, Obama started going gray from his keynote address. So
yeah,
he started going gray.
The shit that man has to deal with, you know.
Dude,
and he's got a puppy now.
It's just being president.
I know. It's a big responsibility.
Everywhere,
on the White House. Wouldn't you be mad if like your dog?
We gotta stop talking.
Yeah.
Sorry, Laura.
We actually do have to wrap this up. It looks like we're running out of time. But yeah, that was a good celebration of President's Day. I think.
Yeah, we covered a lot of bases of being president.
And some Justin Bieber.
I think so.
To make one final announcement.
Yes, please.
If that's okay.
Go for it.
I promised I would do this for Ms. Lisa Linky. She has requested that if you know any available single men who are in their 30s and would like to date this beautiful woman, to contact info@Octavarius. Or you can go onto the dating website community, which is still up there. And submit your profile and let us know because untalented improviser Lisa Linky is without date and this cannot stand.
She's pretty great.
Super lady.
Yeah.
She's super talented.
She said I could ask on the podcast.
That's awesome.
So she asked me, and I was like, yeah, well, that's what I'm doing now.
Another real quick announcement before we get to the end of this podcast is To A, once again, thank everybody for coming to our last show. The album release was super fun. B, look out in the next week or so. We are going to get Vanilla Points, the new album, up online for you to purchase and download, which we're super excited about finally getting to spread to the world. So be sure to look for that. And that's all I got, so I'm going to turn it over to the final segment of the night, Nick Mikula's
Seven Words of Wisdom.
Excuse me, Mr. President. Iceland is melting.
This has been Nick Mikula's Seven Words of Wisdom.
Nice.
Good work. Good work. Good work.
Nice. Verb, noun, got it now. That was almost profound.
That's a sentence.
On that note, have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
I will run for your life. You're running out of time.
Jesse McCartney.
That's right. Oh, and that Octavarius monster thing.
It's got the wicked, the Octavarius the monster.
So Octavarius is president
of Octavarius. Monster.